ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه. بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, think about this. You know, we all have our cell phones and so on and so forth. Now sometimes you get suddenly an unexpected, say, WhatsApp message from an old friend you haven't seen or heard from for a very long time, somebody you really liked and so on, and you were trying to get in touch with. You suddenly get a message from that person. What do you do? What does it do to you, and what do you then do? The first thing it does to you is brings back all the good memories that we have about that person, and we suddenly, you know, it enlivens and rejuvenates that memory. And then immediately you try to get in touch with that person, you try to call that person. It happened to me recently. One of my dear friends from Jeddah, who I've even mentioned in my book, Bandar Awad al-Mahmadi, who I had lost track of for many years, suddenly he surfaced, and as soon as I got his message, I was absolutely thrilled that I'm back in touch with him. And I immediately phoned him, and we had this wonderful conversation. Inshallah, I'm hoping to go for Umrah on the 30th of this month, and I look forward to meeting him there. So this is what happens, and this is true for almost everything that we can imagine. The moment you remember, I want you to think about this word, the moment you remember something, it does two things. It reminds you of your relationship with what you remembered, and then it galvanizes you to do something about that. So the moment you remember, two things happen. One is it rejuvenates and reminds you of that memory of that person, and second one is it then encourages you, it enables you, and it makes you do something. This applies even to things which are inanimate. For example, last year my wife and I, we were in Alaska. So every time I think about Alaska, I have these wonderful, you know, I remember that very pleasantly, because it was a beautiful trip. The whole trip to the US was very nice. Almost invariably, I then go to my photos, and I, you know, browse through the photos. I've got over 1,000 photos, but obviously I don't see all of them. But I browse through them and, you know, remember those days and those wonderful memories. So remembering does these two things. Reminds you of the relationship and makes you do something. The reason I'm saying this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word remember. Udhkurullah. Allah said remember Allah. Remember, remember, remember. So the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, right? So all of all these references, they're talking about this thing, remember. Now, the point is that what is it that we do when we remember? For most of us, illa mashallah, remembering has been reduced to repeating formulae. I mean, repeating mantras, repeating words. So remembrance means subhanallah, 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 without anything happening as a result of that remembrance. Now that's the point I'm making. Now when you say something, if I say Alaska, it reminds me of the pleasant memories of Alaska. If I say whatever, you know, if I say Muzaffar, my brother, it reminds me of my relationship with my brother. The other Muzaffar, my brother here, if I take his name, I remember my relationship with him, alhamdulillah. So similarly for anything, right? If I say I'm a Saeed, then I remember my boss and I feel some fear in my heart. So the point is that for everything, there is the issue of remembering, what does it do? And that's what I remind myself and you, is when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it do? And what should it do? It should do what it does for, which is our nature, which is it should remind us of our relationship, and we must then do something. Now, relationship is based on experience, right? I remember Alaska because I experienced Alaska. I remember my brother because I have experienced my brother. I remember my friends because I have experienced my friends, and so on. So what is this experience? What is this experience which reinforces the memory and which builds the relationship? Now, that is a very important thing for us to keep in mind, because that experience is what helps us to and to ensure that the memory that we have, what we are remembering, is something that does not that is reinforced constantly because of this experience. So when we remember, we recall this experience. So when we say Subhanallah, we are remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. When we say Allahu Akbar, we are remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. What is it that we are remembering? What is this experience that we are remembering? And that's the reason why Zikr, by definition, is remembrance. So how can Zikr be done without remembering? How can Zikr be done with thoughtlessly? How can we simply say Subhanallah, 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 Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. How can we do that? Zikr means to remember. How can you remember without remembering? How can you remember thoughtlessly? Remembering means thoughtfulness. How can you remember thoughtlessly? So when we remember, we recount for ourselves, we recall for ourselves our experience. So when I say Subhanallah, what is my experience of Allah? Now for each of us, it will be different. We experience Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala in many different ways. We experience Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala in the way that Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala grants us what we ask for. We experience Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala in the way that Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala does not grant us what we ask for. We experience, and both of these are things to be thankful about. When we fully understand what Allah denied us, we will thank Allah for denying us that. And sometimes this might be in the akhirah, wallahu alam. But you know, if Allah gives the wisdom, we see that in this life itself. So we thank Allah for what He gives us. We remember Allah for what He gives us. We remember Allah for what He does not give us. We remember Allah for our successes. We remember Allah for our failures. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for all that we got without even asking. Ask the person who is having difficulty breathing, what is the value of breathing freely? And you and I are breathing freely. Did we ask for this? Did you wake up in the morning and say, oh Allah, please permit me to breathe freely all day today until the day I die? We didn't say this. But Alhamdulillah, it's happening. And so also for everything, look at all our bodily functions, look at all our affairs in life, and look at how Allah has placed us and where He's placed us and so on. And you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in situations which we did not ask for. We did not ask for the blessings that we got. For the ones who do not have blessings, for ones who are in difficulties, obviously you did not ask for the difficulty, but and I say this with great humility, I know I'm not, I don't want to sound as if I'm sitting here and pontificating on somebody else's difficulties, but the reality also is that those difficulties are doors to other avenues that open, which create great benefits for the person or the person's future. Take for example the refugees from Syria and that whole area, I mean, not only Syria but that whole area, who have gone into Europe. Fast forward 2 generations, 3 generations. The children of those refugees will be sitting in the European Parliament. The children of those refugees will be heading the administration in European countries. The children of those universities will be teaching in great European universities. And inshallah, we hope that the children of those refugees, will be people who will change the face of Europe and open the doors of Europe. Have already been opened to Muslims and Islam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu. Whoever thought that 1 million people will walk across a border which are guarded by some of the finest military in the world without a single shot being fired. And they will not just be allowed inside, they will be welcomed and so on and so forth. We must be and are most grateful to the European countries who have allowed this to happen. I mean, we are very grateful to them that they have opened their doors and they have allowed these people to come in, and they are supporting them and they are helping them and they are giving them citizenship and allowing their children to go into their schools and so on. And their whole thing is that how soon can you bring your life up to the level that we are at, meaning in terms of education and so on and so forth. All the doors that they can open have been opened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now that happened as a result. What was the direct thing which resulted in all of this goodness? Was something which was very awful, very bad. I mean, in the sense of all the turmoil and the needless killings and useless wars that are being fought in the Middle East, many of them really backed by the same countries, not exactly the same countries, but by the what we call within quotes the West. But as a result of that bad thing, which was unasked for, came this good thing, which is also unasked for. So the future of those children, which in Syria, the other countries, Iraq and so on, was probably not, or probably would not have been so potentially good, has come to a place where they are now in Germany, they are in Canada, they are in the US, they are in other countries, in Holland and so on. And the future is far brighter, at least it looks far brighter. Of course, Allah knows the future, but it looks far, far brighter than it was. So the relationship, when we remember the relationship based on our experience of that relationship. And then the next part is, therefore, what do you do? I remember Alaska based on my experience of Alaska, and the thing I do is go look at the pictures. Right? Now, that is the issue as far as remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. Is we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thoughtfully, meaning that we must reflect on the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we must say, therefore, what do I do? And what do I do, therefore, is obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the haqq of the abd. The haqq of ubudiyat is ibadah. The haqq of ubudiyat is ibadah. So therefore, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ensure that we improve the quality of our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We improve that we are praying salah in the masjid, for example. We improve the way we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We improve our concentration, the khushu and khudu in salah. All of these are the result of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in the way that he should be remembered, which is to recall our experience of Allah jalla jalaluhu, and then to bow in submission and thankfulness and shukr and hamd and sana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I remind myself and you, let us live thoughtfully, let us worship thoughtfully, let us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu thoughtfully in a way which is pleasing to His majesty and grace. The same thing again applies as far as remembrance is concerned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when we remember the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do we do? Now we have reduced the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to singing nasheeds and naat and shedding some tears and to having our annual jalsas of Miladun Nabi and so on and so forth. Is that the purpose of remembering Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is it the purpose, and is it acceptable that we have a jalsa Miladun Nabi and we continue to shave our beards, that we continue to disobey the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is it appropriate that the people who are holding these jalsas and who are funding and at the forefront of the so-called Milad celebrations, who then, when it comes to the marriage of their daughters and sons, they excel in extravagance and excel in breaking the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as far as marriage is concerned. What does it mean when we say that we love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and indeed this is part of our iman? When we remember Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it we must do? When we remember Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is our relationship with the Nabi. We must say, well, how is this relationship of the Nabi with me? And then what must we do? Follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The taqaza, the requirement of the relationship with Allah is ibadah. The taqaza of our relationship with the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ita'at wal ittibah. I remind myself, please let us get our lives in line with this. We have to do the ittiba and the ita'at, the obedience and emulation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as part of our iman. This is the sutun, this is the pillar of our iman. And we need to get this very clear, because we will be questioned about this. May Allah protect us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.